If all texts were diversely interpretable with no true meaning at their core, then the important thing, the only thing really, was the meaning the reader imposed upon the text. In other words, meaning is created through power and will. The right interpretation is the one held by the interpreter who wins the academic power struggle. According to Derrida and his acolytes, reason was a tool of oppression. Beneath every seemingly rational decision was pure Nietzschean will to power. Derrida hoped to snatch the veil from the Enlightenment and reveal the tyranny of logocentrism beneath, another word with fascist roots. This, too, was a replay of the pragmatic spirit that had sought to liberate society from the cage of inherited dogma. Pragmatism inspired Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt, and Benito Mussolini, as well as their court intellectuals, to discard the putrefying corpse of classical liberalism and parliamentary democracy in order to empower men of action to solve society's problems through bold experimentation and the unfettered power of the state. As one progressive reformer put it, we were all Deweyites before we read Dewey. Similarly, many in the academy were deconstructionists before they read Derrida. The literary critic, Paul de Man, was one such sleeper deconstructionist. De Man, who first met Derrida in the 1966 Johns Hopkins Conference, became the foremost champion of deconstruction in the United States and a huge influence on Derrida himself. De Man taught at Cornell in the first half of the 1960s and then moved to Johns Hopkins and Yale. Derrida's and De Man's writings served as an intellectual warrant for the radicalization of faculty who wanted to find common cause with the marchers in the streets by speaking truth to power. At Cornell, in the years preceding the takeover, De Man championed the defenestration of the core curriculum, arguing that nothing worthwhile would be lost if the university turned its back on the traditional benchmarks of a liberal education. How could it be otherwise if all those ancient texts were in effect meaningless? Such ideas contributed to the implosion of the American university in much the same way that they accelerated the Nazi takeover of German universities. Polite liberals were forced to choose between doing their jobs and siding with the radicals. For the more politicized professors, this was no choice at all, since they already agreed with the aims of the revolution. But for individuals like Clinton Rossiter, a decent liberal centrist and one of America's most distinguished historians, the choice was destructive. A professor at Cornell during the uprising, Rossiter at first fought for the ideal of academic freedom along with other threatened faculty, but eventually he threw in his lot with the black fascists. Just 2 days before he made his decision, he told the New York Times, "If the ship goes down, I'll go down with it, as long as it represents reason and order. But if it's converted to threats and fear, I'll leave it and take a job as a night watchman at a local bakery." Fine words,